Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. I'm Andrew Aubrey.
And I'm Tracy Moxie. Through insightful discussions and practical strategies, get ready to unlock the tools you need to thrive and make your unique mark on the world.
In this episode, Tracy and I will be exploring two of the sensing drives, nurturer and caretaker.
Welcome back to Engagement Fit Drive podcast. You are joining Andrew and myself in episode number 6. We really appreciate you spending your valuable time with us as we delve into these amazing drives and learning more about ourselves. In our last episode, we unpacked my innovator drive compared with Andrew's moderator drives. I hope you found that interesting, and more importantly, that if any of these drives are relating to you and whether or not you've managed to take the drive assessment and learn more about yourselves. In this episode, Andrew and I will be unpacking two drives, nurturer and caretaker. We hope that you are really enjoying our podcast and that they are making a difference.
Thank you, Tracy. So we're going to dive straight in. And in the Engagement Fit Drive framework, there are two drives that see potential in others. One is the nurturer drive, which we'll be discussing in this episode. Both Tracy and I have this as one of our most dominant drives. The second drive, which is called impact player, will tend to spot strengths in people and notice strengths in people. Impact players are not hands-on. They will challenge people, they will stretch people, and they will put people in environments or positions that stretch them to the next level. This is a fast and an iron sharpens iron type of drive. We will be discussing this drive in detail in the near future.
So for now in this episode, let's dive in and chat about nurture. And as the name implies, nurturers place a high value on growth, both your own growth and the growth of others. As a nurturer, you may gravitate towards young and experienced or undeveloped people and naturally spot their potential. You probably take a hands-on, patient and nurturing approach towards others, supporting them closely in their growth with needed skills and resources in order to help them develop their potential or talents. As a nurturer, you may tend to notice and celebrate the small wins and the step-by-step incremental progress that is made because you understand that small changes on the surface are the results of big changes below the surface. You may be very comfortable with this initial, slow, incremental progress when you recognize you feel certain of their potential for growth. You may be easily trusted and may not give up or be discouraged. Nurturers thrive in conditions where they can develop people, mostly individuals, with patience and attention to small changes. So this nurture drive all about growth. Remember, each drive has needs. And this nurturer's need is having the opportunity to nurture people's potential, to grow and be developed patiently. So if you're a nurturer, you also need people to be patient with you, as well as you having the capacity for immense patience with others. You need the time and patience to develop and support growth. So as Andrew mentioned, nurturer, I think, is in the very top of our drives. And for me, nurturer has helped me so much in my coaching and what I do, because obviously it's leaning towards people and seeing the potential in people and just being there and having the patience to almost hold their hand. You kind of walk the path with them, with the patience and everything that they need, the support to be who they want to be or achieve what they want to achieve. So, Andrew, I know that this drive is very strong for you. So do you want to just share with us about your take on how nurture shows up for you?
Thanks, Tracy. I think a picture that really made so much sense to me was if you consider building a skyscraper, what do you need? You need a plan. You need to be able to do foundational work, and then you build the structure on top. Now, such a great picture for nurturer is that if you are going past a building site where they are building a skyscraper, you will possibly find that for many months you drive past that site and there appears to be absolutely nothing happening. And yet, that's not true. What's happening is the foundational work is being done all underground. Now, depending on how high you want your skyscraper to be, is directly proportionate to the depth and the strength and the planning and effort that goes into the foundation below. And if you do a good job on the foundations and you have done the due diligence required to the foundations, when you put that skyscraper up, which will generally tend to be a fairly quick process in terms of time as opposed to what it took to do the foundation, that skyscraper will then be strong and will stand against the storms. Now, tying that back into our lives, the foundational work that we do in our lives on so many levels is the foundation on which we're going to build our lives. So if we don't give due diligence and dedicate time and intention into the foundations that we lay, we could build on that foundation and that foundation may not stand up to the storms of life. So that was such a helpful picture for me in terms of understanding what nurturer is. So obviously in any person's developmental process and growth process, you're going to have a need for both nurturers and impact players. Nurturer for me is such an interesting thing in the last few years. I've really had such awareness around how nurturer plays out in me. And one of the core components of nurturer is obviously other people's potential and wanting to call that out and wanting to help them grow. But it's also about yourself. How do you like to be developed? And for me, that was a very practical exercise that took time, but now I am absolutely convinced on what that looks like. So, such a valuable thing for me to have done that work myself. What do you say, Tracy?
I think that analogy of your skyscraper is brilliant. That's exactly what it is, that people are not seeing below those foundations or below the skyscraper. And that's where nurture really has that patience and support, because it's a sensing drive. And we sense that that's all going to happen. That building is going to appear. But we have the patience and really spend time on those foundations. For me, I'm a very picture person. So that was a lovely analogy for me to understand.
There are a couple of things that is very important with nurturer in terms of rules of engagement. If you have this drive energy strong, there are a couple of things that you need to hold yourself accountable for. The first rule of engagement is, despite the fact that you can sense or spot potential in other people, never be more invested in someone else's growth and development than they are themselves. And that is a very important component. You also might find that there are some people who are not ready for that growth yet, not ready for that development. And so in spite of the fact that you can see it and that you're calling it out, they might find resistance to that because the time's not right yet. Very important for a nurturer to understand. And then the other side of that is you walk a road and a journey with that person, and they'll come to a time where the value that you can contribute to that person and how, in terms of growth and development, matures. And they now need somebody else who can take them and to can elevate that growth and potential to the next level. And that's the role of the impact player. But what you might find is that you may so enjoy the relationship that you've built with that person that you might struggle to let go of that. And actually, for that person to really thrive, they need someone else to be able to challenge them and to take that potential from competent to excellence.
Andrew, you know, when we talk about spotting the potential in others, how does that show up for you? How do you spot that potential?
Tracy, that's a really good question. And if I reflect back over my life, and there will be other drives at play for me in this particular thing, but for me personally, as I get to know someone, this is the sensing drive. And what we mean by sensing is that it's based on a number of drives in the engagement framework that play into this natural innate ability to sense things. And as I have got to know specific people better, I start to see things in them. And I feel it's my responsibility to then to call that out and to see whether they resonate with that. And that's a very important thing with any sensing or intuition, is to check that the other person sees it for what it is. I don't know if that, what does that look like for you?
So for me, I think because it's an empathetic drive, and I am an empath, so I can feel things, which can't always explain because it's just a feeling. Like you said, I have other drives also at play. And I also believe that if somebody believes in you, if you've got somebody that actually like really is invested in you and believes in you, I think you can actually do anything. So I think this is where the nurturer role is, you just being there for that person. I've had clients that would come to me that were busy studying something, doing a degree, and thought that they would never finish it. They didn't even know why they were doing it. And just having somebody believe in them and maybe just problem solve a few things that they were stuck on and get over those hurdles, it gave them the courage and the capacity to continue. So I think that's part of being the nurturer, is that just being there, believing in that person, being that nurturer for them, giving them the belief in themselves that they possibly don't have.
I think that's a very, very valuable thing to be said, because for Tracy and I, it's going to look very different. Other drives are going to play out in terms of how we see that. But it is about believing the best in someone and being able to call out and to encourage that person. And I feel that for me, and for me especially, some of this stuff is taking the onus on myself to be able to call out what I see in somebody else, how they choose to respond to that awareness or what I see in them is entirely up to them. But we could potentially make the mistake of thinking, oh, well, everyone can see what I see. And especially with sensing and intuitive drives, this is where you have to be very aware that we're not all wired the same. We don't all see life the same way. And drive dynamics and other drives and how they play out will profoundly impact what nurturer looks like for you as an individual. But it's an extremely valuable drive. And you know, what I find really valuable about nurturer is the concept of yet, where you can call something out on somebody and it appears like nothing's happening yet. And that's where the nurturer space is, in terms of saying, I will keep supporting you in growth and in development. And it's okay if you're not there yet. You will get there.
That's beautiful, Andrew. And can I just say one last thing about nurture? Because conducive parenting is one of my absolute passions. And if you think about any child needs nurturing. They yes. need you to believe in them. And if we can, as a parent, really just bring, even if it doesn't come naturally for you, just understand the value of this drop, the value and the impact it has on another human being.
And I think there's a bigger application to the concept of what this drive is as well, in terms of nurturing in relationships too, which is the very life source of effective and strong relationships, is nurturing and being vulnerable with those people who are significant in your life, and being able to talk into other people's lives, obviously with their permission, but people that you love and that are important to you. And to what Tracy was saying earlier, she does it slightly differently, and we're going to explore her caretaker drive and how caretaker and nurturer work for her.
So shall we go right into caretaker drive then?
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's talk about the caretaker. As a caretaker, you naturally care about people and have a strong empathetic nature. You're very intuitive about people and will quickly get a good sense of an individual, the kind of person they are, their unique needs, qualities, and emotions. You may even feel someone's sadness, joy, anxiety, or fear. Those in need of help or support will often feel emotionally understood by you and trust you easily because of your caring nature. You will naturally understand emotion and tend to lift the emotional intelligence in a group or team. You may have a keen interest in the uniqueness of every individual and bring a natural appreciation for diversity and difference. You probably love the fact that every person is unique, and you may firmly believe that each individual, including yourself, needs to be respected for who they are. You therefore may see fairness as something that is linked to personal or emotional context, rather than a hard one-size-fits-all approach. You may take care of people by simply giving them a safe and understanding emotional space in which to feel that they are feeling without judgment. Or you may be more inclined to do something to help their situation. Either way, you are driven to take care of people. You tend to thrive in conditions where people's needs or emotions are allowed to be authentically expressed and cared for. So this is very prevalent in my life. As a coach, this drive really, really helps me, because being able to make people feel safe and trusted. I have people come in the very first session, grown men that will sit and tell me things they haven't told anyone else before, or even cry and be so vulnerable, because people sense in the caretaker that they feel safe with them. They feel that their emotions are going to be handled with care. So this drive with my nurturer really, really, really has a huge impact on the work that I do. And I'm so grateful that I get to actually live my drives. I get to actually use them every day. So let's talk about the caretaker's needs. What do they need? They need to respond to the needs and emotions of others. They need to respect and be respected. Their own emotions need to be validated. And the emotionally deep relationships and quality time is what they need. Andrew, do you want to ask me any questions about my caretaker?
Yes, I do, because I would like to drive straight into one of those needs. It is very important. One of caretakers' drive needs is for their own emotions to be validated. Tracy, does that resonate with you? Because one aspect around this drive is that ability to care for others and to be able to read people well and to really care about people. Sometimes, however, that might be to the point where you are so selfless that you might compromise taking care of yourself. And if you are continually putting yourself in someone else's shoes, but it's never reciprocated, how does that make you feel?
I think this is a huge problem, Andrew, especially if you think about people that choose professions where they do this. Like, for example, nurses always putting everyone else above themselves, and they very rarely take care of their own needs, do things for themselves, or running around looking after family members that need them and depend on them. And So there definitely, as we know, Andrew, we're going to talk about some of the things we have to learn. One of these, with this drive particularly, definitely is boundaries, because we have to take care of ourselves first.
Mm.
I must be honest, Andrew, if I saw for me personally, as a child, my emotional needs weren't really taken care of. Right. So I think it's hardwired to take care of myself.
Okay.
So, and I know I have other drives that impact that as well. For me personally, I don't need you to take care of me. I don't need anyone to take care of me. I can actually to take care of myself. But I think that's got a lot to do with my childhood. And I'm very easily able to put up boundaries. I'm very easily able to not take on those emotions. Because with this being an empathetic drive, empaths feel things. And I feel things. I can feel your pain. I can feel your sadness. Don't get in there with you. I stay on the other side and I'll be there for you. I'll support you, but I will actually pull you out of that. So don't get in there with you.
And that's such an important point, Tracy, because depending on what this drive energy looks like for you, some people can relate to this drive and say that it's actually a curse, because you don't have to even know someone. And you can already sense feelings or emotions or what that person is going through.
And I think it's because this is a sensing drive, right? You can't be in your brain with this drive. With Nurture and Ketrick, you're not in your brain. You're in your body. And for me, I can have clients arrive that will be avoiding something, and I know that this has got to come up. And in the session, it will come up and it will be the very thing that needed to be addressed. And if I didn't have the sensing thing, it might come up, it might not. But that's why I think that for me in coaching and being able to help people deal with their emotions, because not everyone can do that so successfully, right? People struggle with their emotions. They want to run away from them. They want to suppress them. And having somebody actually being able to feel what you're feeling with you, but take you to where you need to get to, take you out of it and seeing it from a different perspective, maybe.
Not just something to bring awareness to. Others may sometimes feel very exposed by your incredibly accurate intuition about them. And this may cause them to withdraw or feel uncomfortable in your presence. Notice when people open the door for you to enter into their emotional world and when they don't. Otherwise, they may perceive you being too personal. This is about respecting others' emotional boundaries. You want to speak me through how being able to read other people, how you know whether to go there or not?
Andrew, something I can't really explain. That just also comes naturally. You know when to back off. Because it's sensing, right? Whether it's the person withdrawing their energy or physically withdrawing or breaking the contact with you, we're so in tune to the emotions that it's very easy to pick up. Okay. I must admit, in all the sessions I've done and all the hours of coaching that I've done, I've never had that happen where the person is really upset with me. Because again, I think we've got this innate ability to sense. To sense how far you can go, when to stop. And I think the nurturer backs it up, because it's all about nurturing with patience. Whatever comes out right now is enough. We don't have to get to the bottom of these infinite amounts of time for us to heal, work through this, whatever it is that comes up.
So you lead on to an interesting point, and I'd just like to clarify what that is. Is in Tracy, nurturer and caretaker are what we call booster drives. Remember that we're discussing these drives individually, so there's clarity on the characteristics of each drive. In a specific situation or context, however, drive energy plays out dynamically like chemistry. A big part of dynamics in booster drives lies in the management of the energy and needs of the drive. The moment you get an enhanced energy or need, you step into the risk of mismanagement of energy and need, which can be overpowering to yourself and to others. This boosting effect may be having bigger capacity or more energy or more sustainability than others with only one of the dominant drive as opposed to both. People around you, however, may experience that as overpowering, too strong. It may be detrimental to you as well if it's not managed well. Drive management is difficult because you're energized when this energy is in play, so it's natural that you may not always be aware of it. Do you have practical examples of what it feels like in a situation when both these drives are at play?
That's amazing, Andrea. I feel boosted. I think, like I already mentioned, in that it's just being able to completely, without words, feel someone's emotions, feel what's going on with them, even between the lines, even if it's feeling energy or body language, or it's just having this ability to sense this other person, where they are at, what's happening with them.
Mm-hmm.
I do really care about people, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you are or your background. When I am with a human being, I want the best for them. I see the best in them. I will be nurturing and patient, even if in a session it's, so maybe that person comes for coaching, right? And they maybe haven't been through therapy yet. The caretaker and nutrient booster together, I will have that infinite patience. So maybe the first two sessions is they actually just need to talk. They actually just need to get stuff out. We don't actually get to the coaching yet because I feel that this just needs to come out. I don't go into the mindset of, no, this is what a coach does. It's not therapy. And if they need to talk, let them talk. So I think it's having that ability to really understand each situation. Remember, the caretaker, it's about the uniqueness of the situation, the uniqueness of that individual and what's happening with them.
And I think what's important to take away from what you've just said is the ability with this drive of helping people to feel heard and for their emotions to be acknowledged. And sometimes in that space, just for a person to feel like they've been heard and they've been seen, inverted commas, is such a game changer.
Exactly that. We as human beings, some of us really lack that being heard and being seen. And if you can get to them, that makes them feel what they need to feel. It's their significance, like they matter, like somebody actually cares about them.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that is, I want to just pose this. So in cultures around the world, this empathetic ability and this ability to be able to feel and to read people well and to understand the needs of people is not well celebrated. And yet we desperately need people to be able to bring compassion and understanding into situations that can be very clinical.
Definitely agree, Andrew. That word compassion, if we could bring that back into humanity, where we accept everyone for their uniqueness, their individualism, the way they feel about things, I think that would be huge. If we can bring back compassion for each other, that would really help change the dynamics of the world. Let's get back to caring, just caring about each other.
So I think there's one other thing, just like we said with nurture, just because you can spot potential, sense potential in people, just because you can feel what other people are going through or their needs, doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be the answer to that. So there's a strong component around not only boundaries, but what is your responsibility?
Boundaries is a huge thing. Even though caretaker is a drive and a drive for me, so it energizes me, there's still a limit. If you're taking care of people all day, every day, you're going to get drained. You're going to get exhausted. You're going to get burnt out, as in some of the other drives as well. We have to learn the balance, right? So boundaries about, do you have the capacity now to take on caring for someone? And for me, Andrew, we don't have to have all the answers because everyone's on their own journey discovering what they need to do for themselves. And to lean in more to the support and caring and listening and letting them express their emotions, is we don't have to have all the answers. Just by being there for them and exploring their emotions, they very often find their own perspective or another perspective. It's emotional boundaries as well with the caretaker, is in we can't take on other people's emotions. That's their emotions, and this is our emotions, and we got to know where the line is. That's what you feel, and this is what I feel. We can't have this crossing over. As a caretaker and in a coach environment, yes, I will be able to have the emotions of, I really care about you, I understand you, I'm here for you, but I'm not going to take on your absolute, you know, your victim mindset or your absolute sadness that's draining you and that's all you can think about. I need to help you switch that emotion, you know, switch you, maybe not switch, but just look at it from, is it serving you to keep staying in that realm, especially if you've been to therapy for 5 years and you haven't been able to get out of it yet, is how do we move you now and move you forward?
What I want to say around this, Drive, and I'd really value your insight here, is I feel that this is an incredibly strong drive, because somebody with this particular drive can hold the space where emotional intensity is high. Now, for certain personality types, when things start getting emotionally challenged, now, this is not to say that a caretaker feels comfortable or likes to be in emotional intense situations, but they can hold space in emotionally intense situations and be able to navigate that space better than maybe other people. Do you agree with that? Do you have any comment on that?
Andrew, I think it goes back again to the maturity of the drive. And you know that we have to build skills to master these drives. So I think if you look at me 20 years ago, I definitely don't have the skills that I have now. Definitely not. So understanding the drive, understanding the boundaries is all going to help you. I do have a lot of people saying, how do they put the boundaries up? How do they differentiate? If somebody just phones them, they're off to go and help them and do whatever they need. But a lot of it also comes to, Andrew, when we understand ourselves, when we know who we are, where we can stand in our truth, where we value ourselves, it's very easy to know your capacity, when you can burn out. I think you have the sense of, like, I know who I am. I know what I can take on. I'm not people pleasing. I'm not, you know, all of those things can also play into caretaker, because you feel better because you're helping somebody else, but you're actually trying to fill your own needs. So there's a lot to it. The maturity and the mastering of this drive is very important.
What you've just raised is actually really valuable, because I think about the nursing profession and I think about other professions where this drive really does play into strong areas there. And the point around this well-managed is that because you are good, you are strong, you've got skills, you have done work around self-awareness and development, you can be strong in spaces where the people who need that from you can be vulnerable. And your strength and your ability to know how to navigate that realm gives them what they need to overcome the situation that they're in.
Andrew, you put things into words so beautifully. Exactly. Beautifully said.
Well, Tracy, I just want to thank you for sharing that. Caretaker is not a drainer for me, but it certainly is on the lower side of my neutral drives. And you and I coach very differently because we use a different toolbox. And yet, this is what I absolutely love around the engagement fit drive framework, is that there's no need to compare each other, because you are unique and you're unique for a purpose. And different people bring different value and make different impact in different areas. And that's all about the tools that you've been given.
And if we can just share, Andrew, that's exactly that word. That there is nobody like us. Yes. Our drives are so unique that nobody can sing the song that we can sing. And I think that just makes life so wonderful, that we are all so different, that we do things differently. It makes it interesting. Yes.
What you've just said, and obviously it's more than that. It's It's self-awareness, it's skill, it's knowledge, it's background. It's so many other things that make you uniquely you. And it is just so amazing to understand that when it comes from the point of view of identity and self-worth, that uniqueness makes you strong. That uniqueness makes you valuable. That uniqueness gives you your own identity. And it's not about being the same as everyone else, because the impact you can make, only you can make, if you're up for the challenge.
Andrew, and can I add that I know you and I are like madly passionate about this drive work, but you know what it is, Ken? In society today, everyone is always comparing themselves to everybody else. Yes. And once you know your drives and you understand who you are, you start to get a glimpse of this unique person that you are. Yes. So for me, this is so powerful and so impactful in more ways than we can even imagine.
Well, I just want to thank you again for this time today to explore these two drives. We do hope that it's been impactful. And obviously, we've been discussing sensing drives today, and part of self-awareness and growth is all about listening to how we explain these drives and then taking it and looking at yourselves as individuals and saying, okay, what resonates for me? And getting clearer and clearer and clearer on who you are as an individual. Because it's when you get clear on that, and when it's clear, you start developing life skills and tools, then you can make the unique impact that you were designed for.
Yes. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And we will see you next time on the next episode. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Engagement Fit Drive podcast.
We hope you found invaluable insights that will empower you on your path to self-discovery and fulfillment.
Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with anyone who's ready to unlock their full potential.
Until next time, keep engaging, keep thriving, and keep driving towards a life filled with purpose.